A record number of states are in better financial health than they were before the Great Recession. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dozens of states collected more revenue last year than they did before the 2008 recession, even when you adjust for inflation. So we're finding out why that is and how Wisconsin did. What questions do you have about tax revenue fluctuations? Would you like a tax cut from Wisconsin's tax surplus, or do you think we should be more careful when it comes to making policy-based decisions on revenue projections? Join in at 800-642-1234. Liz Farmer is the public finance reporter for Governing Magazine. She covers state and local budgets as well as other public sector fiscal issues. And her recent piece is called State Tax Revenues Are Higher Than Ever, But Good Times May Not Last. Liz, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So last year, a record 41 states you found were able to collect tax revenues that surpassed the Great Recession peaks right before the Great Recession. What can we attribute this rise to?
So, this is the latest data coming from the Pew Charitable Trust. And generally, there's a couple of big things going on, and it pretty much relates to federal tax reform that was passed at the end of 2017. You have these sort of blanket things happening of, you know, a good stock market, a relatively stable economy. Those are the kinds of things that generally help push up income and sales taxes and help growth. And I think as we've seen, you know, overall the nation's growth was higher than expected last year. So all those things are kind of general things that move forward. But what really pushed a lot of places over the edge this past year was taxpayer behavior, particularly with income taxes and state and local taxes and how they paid them. And so when the federal tax reform somewhat unexpectedly capped the amount that we all can deduct from our federal income in state and local taxes that we pay, a lot of taxpayers at the end of 2017 prepaid as much in state and local taxes as they could, including income taxes, property taxes. So you had this huge push of filings going on in that time of the year. And then continuing on into 2018, you had some continued activity in terms of taxpayers cashing in on some capital gain stocks and things like that, some more income taxes being declared than is typical. And so what's happening now is you've had this huge push. I mean, a lot of states have, including Wisconsin, end of the year in a surplus because they just had all this extra, you know, revenue that was somewhat unexpected. And so that helps states push forward, and many of them, now 41, a record high, have surpassed their pre-recession peaks. So that's the good news.
Yeah, and we'll get to the bad news here in a moment, as we always do. But Liz, so connect that for us. How do individual state tax rates then factor into the spending power of a state?
Yeah, that is a huge debate. But generally speaking, so, if I am declaring $80,000 in federal income, I'm getting taxed. I'm paying, say I live in New Jersey, I pay an average of $18,000 or even $20,000 in state and local taxes, and that's for most people who live in New Jersey who file their state and local taxes separately and declare them. That's the average of what they pay. It's one of the highest states. And so if I am a property owner earning $80,000 a year, I can immediately take off $20,000 from my income that I declare to the federal government. So now I'm only earning $60,000 a year, and then, you know, all the other deductions that I might want to do. So that lowers what I pay in federal taxes. It's kind of a perk. And so what that helps is when my taxes get raised in New Jersey, as they tend to do, it sort of softens the blow because that's money I get to deduct when I'm paying my taxes at the federal level. And then the argument goes, well, all these high-tax states are being subsidized by the federal government. The other argument is all these high-tax states have a lot of high-income earners, and generally speaking, taxpayers there pay more than their fair share for services than do taxpayers in lower-tax states. So you can argue it till you're blue in the face both ways.
Yeah, and so if coffers, though, are generally better off right now, but you're seeing income tax collections down, what does that then project about the near future in tax revenue?
Yeah, so what's happening now is 19 states going into tax season were not hitting what they were not make, taking in what they expected to in terms of the income tax. And that means that a lot of people, when planning ahead for this current budget year, they knew that what happened last year was off, but they didn't know by how much. I mean, how much of this is just a one-time boon? How much of this is the actual economy doing well? So unfortunately, what's happened is, you know, most states budgeted for less, you know, less income than they actually got last year, but they still missed the mark. I went ahead and got some more recent numbers from the Urban Institute. There's a researcher there, Lucy Dadian, who I also cite in the article. She sent me some more updated numbers, and so she says that today, you know, with just 11 state data from 11 states, which isn't a lot, but it looks like states are starting to have a really good April tax season. So, and Wisconsin is one of those. So this may, you know, a month from now, we could be saying, oh, everything's fine. You know, tax revenues are coming in as expected.
But there's still that a little bit of panic right now. Talking with Liz Farmer, she's a public finance reporter at Governing Magazine, looking at tax revenues in 41 states recently surpassed pre-recession peaks, what that means across the country, what that means here in Wisconsin, your questions as well, 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about tax revenue ups and downs? Would you like a tax cut from Wisconsin's tax surplus, or do you think we should be more careful when it comes to making policy-based decisions on revenue projections? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. So, Liz, let's look a little bit more closely at Wisconsin. And what does your research, when you break it down, how does it project on our state?
So Wisconsin is an interesting place. It is, because of its, you know, relatively lower income tax rate compared with some other states, it doesn't swing up and down as much. I mean, if you look at this, at the numbers compared with the U.S. average and what Wisconsin went through in terms of revenues during and after the recession. I mean, certainly the state, you know, was hurting, but it didn't drop as much. I mean, it suffered about a 5-7% loss in revenues following the recession, whereas the average was nearly 15%. So it didn't swing down as much, but consequently it hasn't swung up as much. I mean, it surpassed, the state began, you know, kind of surpassed its pre-recession peak in terms of what it collects, actually in I think late 2013, early 14, and then there was that little stock market correction that we all went through, so things dropped again. And then it passed, it kind of made up for that loss again by mid-2016. But looking at where it's at today compared with the rest of states, you see this sort of interesting Wisconsin's, you know, little graph line has certainly shot up.
Mm-hmm.
But it is about 7.5%, almost 8% above now what it was taking in to its pre-recession peak. So it's now, and that's all, that includes inflation and everything.
So,
and then,
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, and just nationally, we are looking at about 13%. So there's a big gap in terms of Wisconsin's recovery versus the rest, the national average.
Well, Liz, so Wisconsin yielded a surplus then in the last budget. Lawmakers have proposed that a tax cut is the way to go, giving back money to the middle class. What do we know about using surpluses to fund tax cuts?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think anyone in public policy who doesn't actually have to make these decisions would say that, don't use a one-time surplus for something that you're going to pay every single year. I mean, it's like if you get a bonus and then you decide to spend your entire bonus on a new car, but your bonus payment only covers the first year of payments. I mean, it would not make any sense. What are you going to do for the rest of those years? Surplus, kind of the same thing. But again, we're still in this place of not knowing, is this a real surplus? I mean, is this going to be how it's going to look for the next, you know, few, however many years, or was this a one-time deal? And so we still don't have that answer, so it's pretty dangerous to just make an assumption and then make public policy based on it and then lock future budgets into this decision when you don't have all the answers. On the other hand, lawmakers like to get reelected, people want a tax cut, so there's a lot of, you know, of that going on too.
And as we start to wrap up here, there's so much that is out of our control. There is the global economy, the stock market, the interest rates, trading, all of the push-pull of our economic system can impact state revenue streams. So is there any way that lawmakers can even have a real sound projection on revenue estimates in the future?
Not really. You know, I'd say ever since in the past few years, but particularly since the recession, it's been really, really difficult to predict with any kind of certainty what the economy is going to do. And so the thing is, everyone is in this boat, and states have different choices about how aggressive or how conservative they want to be. Wisconsin has generally been pretty conservative when it comes to fiscal policy, but there is a lot of pressure now. We are in the longest recovery period that we have ever had, or we're about to approach it. And it's been such a slow period. There's so much pressure to kind of to put funding back into places that had seen a loss of funding. And the problem is, we're starting to see all these nice shiny numbers, and everybody knows we are closer to the next recession now than
we are. Liz, let's pause it right there. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Liz Farmer, public finance reporter for Governing Magazine. You hear her on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.
From NPR.